श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, श्री श्री ब्रज नलदार की जय, श्री बालाराम रास यात्र की जय, बसंती रासलील की जय, अबीर बब महोत्सव तिथि श्री शमानंद पंडित की जय, अविर्भाव महोत्सव तिथि श्री बंसी बदान ठाकुर की जय, अविर्भाव महोत्सव श्री राधा कुंद की जय, श्री हनुमान जयंती की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर परमानंद
हरि हरि बोल।
सो प्रणाम टू ऑल ऑफ यू, वेलकम, गुड आफ्टरनून एंड थैंक्स सो मच फॉर कमिंग एंड फॉर द इनविटेशन टू बी हियर एंड शेयर विद ऑल ऑफ यू। इट्स माय honor and good fortune. And as Indranocha Prabhu mentioned, we are today about to share some words regarding the appearance day of Sri Radha Kund. But at the same time, just a brief mention, we are celebrating, as you may have heard just now, many other things on the same day. So it's one of those few rare occasions during the year that we could be having like 10 classes basically per day, because we are celebrating the Rasa Lila of Rasa Yatra of Balaram in Vrindavan, Krishna's spring Rasa Yatra, Basanti Rasa, which is depicted in Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. We are celebrating the appearance day of Sri Shyamananda Pandit, one of these three important Siksha disciples of Jiva Goswami and main figures in our lineage. We are celebrating the appearance day of Sri Bamsivadana Thakur, who is considered as the incarnation of Krishna's flute in Gaur Lila. Just brief mention of any brief honor to any some and all of them. We are also celebrating Sri Hanuman Jayanti today, which is the appearance day of Sri Hanumanji. So Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, Ram Lila, all together celebrating. And we are also celebrating the divine manifestation in this world of Sri Radha Kund. So the devotees here have chosen that I speak on this last event, because as you can imagine, to speak about all of them in one single class may be too much. To only speak about one of them is too much, but we'll try our best, no? And specifically a topic like Sri Sri Radha Kund, which arguably could be considered the most confidential of all these celebrations, if you want to put it, no? Radha Kund being basically the liquefied personification of Sri Radha, Sri Mati Radharani in prema liquid form, if you will. So that's a very interesting notion, interesting idea. So I would like to begin sharing some ideas through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as sometimes is part of our tradition. Whenever we approach the reality of Krishna Lila, first we go through the gates, the pearly gates of Sri Chaitanya Dev, since he is the Ishtadev of our Sampradaya, and through the service of Sri Mangaurangadev, we attain the service of Sri Radha and Krishna. Prabodhananda Saraswati will say, Yathayata Gaura Padarabindam Bindita Bhaktim Krita Punya Rasi Tatatata Sarpati Hridya Kashmat Radha Padam Bhoja Sudambu Rasi. By immersing ourselves in the service of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Dev, we emerge in the service of the feet of Sri Radha, basically. So trying to honor this principle, every force in connection of Sri Chaitanya, and in connection to today's celebration. Because actually, if you may have heard, or maybe some of you may be wondering, at least in some sections of our Gaudiya Sampradaya, the appearance of Radha Kund is celebrating on Bahulashtami, which is a day inside the Kartik month. So you may be wondering if you may know about that, or remind about that, you may wonder what we are doing here today. No, Kartik, we are not in Kartik yet. So it's an interesting point to mention. So what is actually celebrated, and there has been some slight misunderstanding in that connection, but at the same time it's a very interesting way of misunderstanding things, and that will actually create a double blessing. Because what is actually celebrated on Bahulashtami, this day of Kartik, is not Radha Kunda's appearance day or manifestation, earth, because we consider Radha Kunda existing eternally in Golok Vrindavan. So it's not that it appears from scratch here, if you will, but it just manifests. So what we celebrate actually in Bahulastam is the rediscovering of Radhakund by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited Vrindavan, as you may know, for 4 months, and the time period in which he was there coincides with Bahulastami. So it is said that Mahaprabhu, in brief, he was touring, visiting different sacred places in Vrindavan. And at that point, Radhakunda, Shyamakunda were not overtly manifest for the Brajavasi. So Mahaprabhu at one point get close, and there was some little water there. There was actually a rice, paddy field in the area. But there was some little water there, and Mahaprabhu took that water, took some of the mud of Radhakund, and made himself tilak, like this one, like Radhakund tilak, and he decorated with Radhakund, and therefore established the position of Sri Radhakund. Already he rediscovered, if you will. But today is the actual manifestation of Radhakund thousands of years ago. On Bahulastami, we celebrate 500 and so years ago when Mahaprabhu rediscovered it. And how do we know that? Because at least the evidence we have, Srila Jiva Goswami is commenting in one verse of the Bhagavatam, 10.45.3, and he says, in Chaitra Purnima, which is today, today's Purnima and it's Chaitra Purnima, he said, Krishna killed Aristasur and manifested Shyamakund. And of course, as we will see the history behind this manifestation, after Shyamakund came Radhakund, a few moments after. So Jiva Goswami is mentioning in his Bhagavad Tika, this happened on Chaitra Purnima, which is today. So today we are celebrating this Lila. We will, of course, share that in detail in a moment. But what we celebrate in Vrindavan, in Kartik, in Vrindavan, when we are there, is Bahulastami, is the rediscovering of Mahaprabhu, which is another way of celebrating Radhakunda's manifestation. So it's no problem if someone has been doing that for 3 decades. There's still a manifestation of Radhakunda there. So some words in connection to this detail and in connection to Sri Chaitanya Dev, who rediscovered Radhakunda. And something interesting in this connection is that Mahaprabhu generally was not on the campaign of rediscovering lost Lila Stalis, or sites for pastimes in Vrindavan. He basically empowered and suggested, requested the 6 Goswamis to do that task, among other things. But Mahaprabhu himself, when he was in Vrindavan, he rediscovered Radhakund. That was the only place that Mahaprabhu rediscovered. The rest of the task was given to the Goswamis. So that also speaks about the significance of Radhakund for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Now, the place that this place has in our tradition. Not as a mere, of course, geographical site, but as an eternal destiny unto itself, basically. So Radhakund holds the supreme position among all sacred places. This has been established many parts in Shastra. Specifically, we can mention Srila Rupa Goswami's Upadeshamrita, that, of course, as we know, begin from day one, but converges in Radhakund. Begins with Vachovavegam, Manasa, Krodhavegam, and so on. So first, control the tongue. Last verse, Radhakund. No. Of course, between one thing and the other, there may be a few lifetimes. It's similar to when Raghunath Das Goswami, who is our Prayojan Tattvacharya, he wanted to receive some personal instruction from Mahaprabhu himself. He was put under the care of Swarup Damodar, who was Mahaprabhu's one of the closest associates. But Sri Raghunath Das wanted some personal instruction from Sri Chaitanya Dev. So he insisted, and eventually Mahaprabhu agreed and said something to him. So we may wonder, which was that instruction? No? Mahaprabhu instructing Raghunath Das Goswami. If you know the life and example of Raghunath Das Goswami, you will think this must be a super esoteric thing. And it was, in one way or another. But the instruction began with what? Similar to Upadeshamrita, that's my connection. No? Upadeshamrita begins, Bachovegam, control your speech. Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das, Gramya katana sunive, gramya vartana kaive. Do not hear gossip, do not speak gossip. Of course, Raghunath Das Goswami is not a gossiper. So that was for us, not for Raghunath. Then he said, do not wear fancy clothes. No, Raghunandas Goswami, with very good luck, was wearing a loincloth, a coping. So that's not fancy. There's no fancy coping shops in Loi Bazaar or something like that. And then he said, do not eat fancy food. Raghunandas Goswami, who, as you may know, he was taking even the cows in Jagannath Puri were not taking because it was too, how do you say? So he was washing that, putting some salt, and honoring that Mahaprasad. So he was not eating fancy food. He was not after the tongue. So he was instructing us through him. But he began with that. Do not speak nor hear gossip. In other words, control your tongue, your speech. And the end of the instruction was Braja Radha Krishna Seva Manasa Karive. In your mind, serve Radha Krishna Vrindavan. In brief, in very sutra-like form, he instructed. It begins with, do not gossip. It ends with, in your mind, worship Radha Krishna Braja. In between, of course, some other instructions. He also said, try to chant the holy name following the third verse of Shikshastakam and so on. So similarly, Rupa Goswami starts, and this is important for us because, we will speak today about a very high point, a very high reality, which is our goal. And it's important for us to know which is our goal, but also as important is to know where we are. The two things have to be in place. If we only know where we are, but we don't know which is our goal, what's the focus of our present practice? And if we know our goal, but we don't know where we are, we may just be imagining, I'm getting to the goal, I'm in the goal, and maybe I'm just being evasive of certain present day situation. My Guru Maharaj likes to give the example of going to a shopping mall. So you want to enter shop 108. So you need a map because the place is too big. So at the entrance you have a map which says this is shop 108. Great, thank you. But you need a second point of reference, which is
you are here.
No? If you don't have that one, how you will arrive to 108? And if you only have you are here, how you will arrive to 108? But if you have the two, that's the perfect combination. A clear, and at least in theory, a clear appreciation of the goal to attain, of the nature of the goal, and a clear recognition, acknowledgement of where I am today, with all its pros and cons, whatever. No, a clear, honest acceptance where I am today, and all that I can be in potential. The two things. All my brilliant future, as we spoke yesterday, and all that brilliant potential that is accompanying me, and also where I am today, maybe in a shady, cloudy day in my consciousness, but no problem. The potential is there also, putting everything in context. So Rupa Goswami starts by speaking this. Try to control your tongue, trying to control your mind, trying to control your different organs, as he mentions, and so on. Try to avoid what's unfavorable, what's favorable, accept, learn how to relate with the Vaishnavas, how to express priti lakshanam, exchanges of affection, try to discriminate how to properly relate with each type of person. Well, many things. We won't lecture on the whole Upadeshamrita today. But the last three verses, interestingly, of 11 verses, Upadeshamrita is not that long, 11 verses, three are dedicated to Radha Kunda. So that's a good percentage if you make the math. Almost one third of the whole book, at least one fourth of the full book. So he begins by presenting some sort of of gradation in transcendence, interestingly. He says, we have Vaikuntha, and then we have, above Vaikuntha is Mathura. Above Mathura is Vrindavan. But inside Vrindavan, higher than that is Govardhan. And higher than Govardhan is Radha Kunda. So he presents this, what my Guru Maharaj calls, degrees of penetration into transcendence. Transcendence is diverse. So there are degrees in which you can penetrate into transcendence, into you can access different levels of experience and intimacy and depth of in commitments of service. So these three last verses of Upadeshamrita, to give one example, Srila Rupa Goswami establishes there, Radha Kunda is the topmost place, basically. Mm. Of course, he also mentions Srimati Radharani is the topmost devotee, and this Radha-kund is non-different from Sri Radha. No? So if Sri Radha is the highest devotee, and Sri Radha-kund is non-different from her, this Radha-kunda has to be the highest place as well. Mm. Because it's non-different from her. Mm. The liquid form, if you will, of Sri Radha. So let's share some words before going to the story in itself of how Radha Kunda manifests. Some words connected to Sri Radha. Because Radha Kunda is so great, so special, because it's non-different from Sri Radha. But who is she, basically? And again, we have to go to Mahaprabhu here. because of Mahaprabhu, we have the possibility of, I mean, being today here speaking about these things, basically. Without Mahaprabhu, no notion, no idea about all that Sri Radha and, of course, so many other things want to are to give to us. So Mahaprabhu came to taste, as you know, who is Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but in a very specific project, if you will. Krishna wanted to taste Radha Bhav, which means the inner experience of Sri Radha. I won't enter into the full details of that. That may take too much time. But as you may know, in the zenith of the Bhagavatam, in the apex of the Bhagavatam, in the Rasa Lila, Rasa Panchadhyay, these five chapters about the circular dance of love between Krishna and the gopis, at one point Krishna is dancing with the gopis, at one point Krishna disappears from the dance. And as we know, he disappears with one gopi. The Bhagavatam is not mentioning who she is, at least directly. But it's expressing that through Parokshabad. Parokshabad means indirect language. Because that's a language of love. No? In love, things are not said directly. That's not so tasty. It has to be done and said indirectly. So those who have ears to hear will catch the truth. No? So we find sections in the Bhagavatam that are mentioning the name Anaya Radhito Nunyam Bhagavan Haririshra. But the name of Sri Radha is suggested and our Goswami have pointed here and there. But not directly, because Krishna doesn't like that speech. Krishna likes Parokshabad, he says in the Bhagavatam. Parokshabad arayisayam, paroksham mama chapriyam. Parokshabad, he says in direct speech, is very dear to me. When only those who understand catch the whole thing, and everyone else will get another idea. So the secrecy, the mystery of this divine love, especially Parakya Bhav, Radha's love for Krishna, is in the Leela, is a forbidden thing, basically. No? It's not legal according to the social dynamics of the Leela. No? It has to be kept in a confidential way. Interesting. Everyone in Vrindavan knows there's something special going on between Radha and Krishna, but almost not everyone knows the extent to which that thing is happening. Not only the close associates of Sri Radha and the close friends of Sri Krishna knows about their romantic, amorous connection. So, in this Rasa Lila, Krishna disappears with Sri Radha. Eventually, Krishna disappears and Sri Radha is left alone. The gopis looking for them, find them eventually. Long story short, sorry to be so brief about the most important section of the Bhagavatam. Please bless so I'm not committing aparad by being so brief. And eventually the gopis, led by Sri Radha, start kirtan in separation from Krishna. Start Birahotsav, a great festival of separation. And Krishna is hiding behind the tree, behind the tamal tree. Krishna has the same complexion as the tamal tree, so he's kind of camouflaging himself and witnessing how the heart of Sri Radha and the gopis is blossoming in separation. And they sing the Gopi Gita. Jayati te dhikam janmana braja, and so on, like 19 verses, very, very unique section of the Bhagavatam. So Krishna is witnessing that, and he had disappeared so the whole world may know about the glory of the love of the gopis in separation. He disappears so the gopis in separation may increase their love for Krishna, because separation makes the heart grow fonder. But apart from those two purposes, a third purpose manifests at that moment when Krishna is witnessing the love of the gopis and the love of Sri Radha in particular, which is, wow, no? The love that Sri Radha has for me is unknown to me. What she is seeing in me, I don't know what that is. I don't know what she's finding in me. I need to enter into her shoes to see me according to her love. So at that moment, Krishna develops this desire. I want to taste Radha Bhav. So in one sense, we could say that's the birth of Gaur Lila in the zenith of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the apex of Krishna Lila, Gaur Lila manifests. So all this Gaur Lila, the main reason for Mahaprabhu's descent is to taste this Radha Bhav. And of course, by his own experience, he extends to us the possibility of serving in that connection for those who have that particular affinity. And as we mentioned, Raghunath Das Goswami, he's considered Prayojan Tattva Acharya, or the Acharya who points to the ultimate reach and goal of our Sampradaya. Why? You study all his texts, and all of them speak about Radha Dasyam. Radha Dasyam, Radha Dasyam, Radha Dasyam. Another way to speak about Manjari Bhav or Bhavalasrati, different words for the same idea, to become a maidservant of Sri Radha, which is the highest reach of our Sampradaya. So, this Radha Bhav, this love of Sri Krishna, is something that also interestingly is connected to today's celebration of Krishna's Basanti Ras, and this Rasa Lila that Krishna makes in spring. Because the Rasa Lila of the Bhagavatam is Sarat Purnim, that's done on autumn season. But now we are in spring. I mean, here also, right? Okay, in India as well. So Gita Govinda describes that particular Rasa Lila, which Mahaprabhu would like to hear so much in the Gambira. And again, that's a very beautiful book. We won't enter into the details, very confidential for sure. But one high point of this Gita Govinda is when its author, Jayadev Goswami, writes this line, Dehi Pada Palavam Udaram, which basically means Krishna is putting his head at the feet of Sri Radha. In this moment of the Rasa Lila, when Radha disappears because she enters in Man, she becomes Manini, which means she experiences this, how to say, crooked love and jealousy, divine jealousy. And she says, this Krishna is dancing so quickly that every gopi thinking he's dancing with them, but she has to be dancing only with me. And she disappears, basically, in brief words. And Krishna enters into deep separation and eventually starts to look for her. And eventually they meet in the place called Seva Kunja. For those who have been in Vrindavan, there is one place called Seva Kunja, which is one kunja, one little, how do you say in English?
Flower.
Yeah. Where there is Seva performed. What's the Seva? Krishna is performing Seva to Sri Radha. Krishna will decorate her and so on. But to begin with, Dehi Pada Palavamudaram. Krishna puts his head at the feet of Sri Radha, which is a very unique concept. We generally do not hear that. And even when Jayadev Goswami was writing and this idea came to him, he felt, what's this idea coming? I mean, this is too much, this concept. The absolute that everyone is worshipping, everyone is putting their head to his feet, he's putting his head to her feet, and so on. I think this is too much. I think I'm writing too much. I will take a break, Jayadev Goswami thought, and let's see what happens. And as you may know, he goes for a walk, and when he returns, Jayadev Goswami's wife was having lunch. And generally, in the tradition at the time, the wife was having lunch after the husband. So Jayadev Goswami returned, and he finds her wife having lunch. He said, oh, I didn't know you didn't wait for me to have lunch. And she said, what do you speak about? You already had lunch like half an hour ago. He said, no, I went for a walk for the last hour. No. He said, you came, you had lunch, I served you lunch, and I don't know how you came back through the door now. So Jayadev Goswami said, what's going on? So he looks at the different sections, bamboo, like paper, if you will, that he had where he was writing. He had put them in a certain way, and now that he returned, they were in a certain other, in a different way. So he said, what's going on here? So he goes closer to the paper, if you will, and he finds this line, Dehi Pada Palavamudaram, that he only had thought about. He hadn't written it, and now he wrote, that was written. So he realized, Krishna himself came disguised as me, and he himself wrote the line to confirm, yes, I put my head at the feet of Sri Radha. That's me. So this is not exaggeration, that's not crazy thing, Jayadeva Goswami. Make that part of your book. So the point is, we worship a God that is worshiping someone else. Srila Prabhupada will say that. No? Most religions are teaching who is the most worshipable object, and God is that most worshipable object. But we are teaching who is the most worshipable object of God. Who is in God's altar? Krishna is in the altar, but Krishna has his own altar. He's worshipping, he's putting his head at the feet of love personified in the form of Sri Radha. That's a very... He keeps that on his head. No, I remember we were speaking like a few months ago in Madhavan, Costa Rica. We were studying Benu Gita from the Bhagavatam, the song of the flute. And there's one famous verse, fifth verse, Barhapidam Natavarabhapukarnayukarnayakaram, and so on, which describes Krishna, and among many features of Krishna, if you can think which may be some of the most defining features of Krishna, you tell me. That only you will find in him. Because there are some that are even found in Narayana and so on. Which ones you find? Tell me two things that you only find in Krishna. Flute. And?
Peacock feather.
Peacock feather. Very well. You put the flute and peacock feather, you immediately go Krishna. That's totally defining. Because if you say Pitambara, yellow cloth, Narayan has also. No? Dark blue complexion, Narayan has also. And some other things. But peacock and flute, only Krishna. That's why among the 64 qualities of Krishna that Rupa Goswami quotes, he says there are 50, today we spoke in the morning about that, there are 50 that we can have on some level, but he says even of the 64, some features Narayan doesn't even have them. No? Narayan may have till 60 of those, but there are 4 features, he says, that only Krishna will have. Rupa Madhurya, Benu Madhurya, Prem Madhurya, and Lila Madhurya. So, very a unique type of sweetness in his pastimes, a unique type of sweetness in his form, a unique type of sweetness in his in the love he's exchanged with his devotees, and unique type of sweet flute, if you will. Narayan doesn't have flute, sweet flute, nor any flute whatsoever. So, and peacock feather. So this peacock feather that Krishna always keeps on his head, I don't have now a picture to show you. We can show you later. And we show that, but that's too small. I need something bigger. We can look later. No problem. But there is a way, because I need to show you that written also. If there is a way that you can understand the design of the peacock feather, it's included in the name Radha.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll show you later a picture with the name Radha, written in Sanskrit, of course. And the idea is Krishna is keeping that on his head always. No? She's keeping her over his head always. He's making that statement to the world. No? Love is above my head. Mm-hmm. That's a very unique idea. Our goal in life is not Krishna. Our goal in life is Krishna Prem. As we said the other day, even the goal of Krishna's life is Krishna, is Prem. No? I mean, he already is Krishna, but he can always, as we said yesterday, he can always love Sri Radha more. He can always love his devotees more. So it's a goal that keeps expanding more and more and more. So that's the God we worship. Prabodhananda Saraswati said, Rasa Ghana Mohana Murtim Vichitra Kili Mahotsavulasitam Radha Charana Viloditam Viruchirashri Kandam Harimbande. He said, oh, Krishna, Rasa Ghana Mohana Murtim. Krishna is that form of condensed rasa, totally enchanting, Vichitra Kili Mahotsavulasitam, whose pastimes are wonderful and are a festival of delight. Radha Charana Viloditam. And what's that such a personality doing? He's rolling at the feet of Sri Radha and his peacock feather is somewhere on the ground there. Ruchirasi Kandam Harim Bande. I offer pranam to that Hari, said Prabhupada Saraswati. Like you say, I offer obeisances to Krishna in that particular situation, rolling at the feet of Sri Radha. That's my Krishna, he's saying. Because there are different conceptions of Krishna. Once that day we were speaking, someone asked Srila Siddhar Maharaj a very particular question. Have you seen Krishna? Generally, you don't ask that to ask to someone. No? Because even if that happened, it's something to keep confidential. Apana bhajana katana kaivo yattatata says Narutandas. You keep the results of your bhajan in the core of your heart. It's not something to be publicizing. So someone asked Srila Siddhar Maharaj, have you seen Krishna? He said, the Krishna that I want to see is not that cheap, he said. Like implying there are different Krishnas, if you will, different conceptions of Krishna. But the one I want to see, the one who is rolling at the feet of Sri Radha, that's a very confidential. Most of the people, when they hear Krishna, will think Krishna Mahabharata, Krishna Kurukshetra, Bhagavad Gita. And of course, he's there and that's glorious. But there is, when you go to the Bhagavatam, you enter into so many layers of expression of the Absolute. So basically, that's the God we worship. Someone who is living to worship Sri Radha. So Sri Radha, Srimati Radharani is the highest personification of divine love. And Herakunda, again, is the highest, topmost place. So this is the highest of the highest. Today we are speaking about the highest of the highest. And being the highest of the highest, and probably me at least being the lower of the lowest, we need to know how to approach that reality in a very, how do you say in English, tactful way. And that's why our Guru Bhargava have taught us in that connection. No? We have the famous example of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur taking his disciples to Radhakund. And someone may expect, okay, now comes the confidential Leela. He starts to speak, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam, and explain this basic, if you will, things. Like making a point with that. Like making a point. Yes, we are here. For some reason we came to Radhakund. It's an important place. But if you want to really access this reality, please first do your homework in connection to controlling your lower impulses, if you will. Or sometimes he will speak about Prahlad Maharaj in Radhakund, which is not generally the standard. Generally, you go to Radhakund and everyone is almost speaking about, I don't know, Krishna Karnamrita, Vilakusumanjali, Govinda Lilamrita, all these Rasa Shastras who are totally depicting the details of the amorous life of the Absolute. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati will speak about Prahlad Maharaj, who represents Santa Rasa, or the foundation of Bhakti. Now, on top of Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. But first, Santa was one of the ingredients of Santa. One is free from selfish desire. And one has universal compassion for everyone. Prahlad Maharaj exhibited these two things. When Srimhadev was pacified by Prahlad and was asking Prahlad, I want to give you a blessing, ask for something. And Prahlad Maharaj said, no, thank you. I'm not worshipping you to ask you something. And Nisrimhadev insisted, said, I'm not a businessman. I don't want to do business with you. I just want to serve you and love you. So, he will present these ideas, no? Prahlad Charit, Dhruva Charit, these like very important foundational definitions of what's Sudha Bhakti, what's Uttam Bhakti, what's pure devotion. Because if those ideas are not in place, our entering into Radhakund will be just to drown ourselves, not to really, if you will, swim in those waters, navigate properly that reality. Speaking about entering the waters of Radhakunda, once one devotee came to Srila Siddhar Maharaj, because the standard of Srila Siddhar Maharaj as well as Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta was they never took bath in Radhakunda. There are different ways of approaching this, but they had this style. This Radhakunda is not different from Sri Radha. I won't put my feet there. They took a few drops and a few drops, not even like lots of water and threw like this and lots of water were going to any other place, but a few drops on their heads. So one devotee came to Srila Siddhar Maharaj and told him, I found one quote in Shastra that says that we have to deeply immerse ourselves in Radhakunda. No? It since he was one who wanted to. And Srila Sri Maharaj immediately replied, like in a very natural way, but where does it say that it has to be done with the body? And the devotee was like, okay. Like implying, immediately you are interpreting the verse in bodily terms. And by interpreting the verse in bodily terms, that's showing your disqualification to go to that place. When they say you have to immerse yourself deeply in Radha Kund, yes. But who says bodily speaking? But entering to the depths of that means what that means and how to enter with my very self. And we don't need necessarily to enter physically there in order to do so. So in this way, our acharyas have cautioned us in a very special way. I remember once Srila Prabhupada also, one disciple told him, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to open a temple. And Prabhupada, of course, someone told him, open a temple. He said, yes. Or he himself sometimes will tell the disciples. Well, there's this story, my Guru Maharaj always tell that they were in a train in India, I don't know in which place, in which city, in which village. And they would say, oh, we're in this village, there's no temple here. Prabhupada said, okay, go down and open one. And they go, the devotee went and opened it. So he was not against opening temples, as you know. But this devotee told him, I want to open a temple in Radha Kunda. So Prabhupada said, for what? And the devotee was shocked, like, for what? For preaching, Prabhupada. That was the official reply to that. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. Radha Kunda is not for ordinary things as such as preaching. Of course, he was not saying preaching is ordinary. He was saying, in Radha Kunda, something very extraordinary is going on. You don't have to preach to anybody here. You come here to be preached, if you will. No? So in this way, our acharya have tried to be clear about what's the depth and the reality there. So that said, let's share a little bit the official lila behind today's celebration. Again, today we're celebrating Radha Kund manifesting on earth, in the Prakat Lila, in the Bhoma Lila, in the earthly manifest Lila here. So this is described in the Puranas. And for example, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes this in the context of commenting on the Bhagavatam, the 10th canto. But let me connect this with the previous section, because everything has to be analyzed in context. No? So before the appearance of Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda, as we will see, comes the killing of Aristasura, the bull demon. And before that, we find one section of the Bhagavatam called the Jugal Gita. The Jugal Gita is one of the main Gitas of the Gopis in the Bhagavatam. There are six main Gitas. You have the Venu Gita, Pranaya Gita, Gopi Gita, Jugal Gita, Viraha Gita, and Brahmar Gita. So we have been lecturing on these last years. So one of them is the Jugal Gita. So the Jugal Gita comes after the Gopi Gita. So that means Gopis are already meeting with Krishna at night and having Rasa Lila at night. Every night, the Gopis are meeting with Krishna. Remember, we are on earth, in the Lila on earth. So in the Lila on earth has the attribute of, if you will, chronological unfolding. You follow? Krishna is taking birth, is crawling, walking, growing. It has a chronological unfolding. In Golok Vrindavan, that's not happening like that. There is some fixed situation there. Krishna is not taking birth there. He's taking birth here. That's an added feature of the earthly Lila. So, as part of that unfolding, again, the gopis fell in love with Krishna, if you will, in the dynamics of the Lila, and they get to meet him for the first time in Rasa Lila, which is the one described in the Bhagavatam. And then every single night, the gopis are meeting with Krishna. But as you may imagine, Krishna is the all-attractive, and the gopis have unending love for him, so to meet him every night is not enough. So now the gopis want to meet him during the day also. So the Jugal Gita, which comes in the 35th chapter of the 10th canto, if I'm not mistaken, shows the gopis during the day absorbing what Krishna is doing at that moment in the day and expressing their longing for meeting him during the day. not only the night, but the day. But as you know, that's not so easy. No, it's easier to meet someone secretly at night, but in the full midday light, that's not so easy to create. But Yogamaya will make the arrangements, as you will see. So we have that, no? These gopis that now are wanting to meet Krishna during the day. So some arrangement has to be done for that to happen. And as we will see, Radha Kunda is crucial for that, because the midday pastimes are mostly concentrated in Radha Kunda. But at this point of the Leela, there's no Radha Kunda yet. Only we find the gopis wanting to meet Krishna during the day. So then we have Aristasura, this bald demon, which is eventually killed by Krishna. And that's intimately connected with the appearance of Radha Kunda. No? Why? Because Krishna kills the bald demon, and the gopis are nearby there. That other killing of other asuras as well. So Krishna is there, and he wants to join the gopis. And the gopis, led by Sri Radha, say, no, we cannot join you. You are a totally adharmic person. Why, Krishna said? Because you have just killed a bull, which is the very personification of dharma. The Bhagavatam, dharma appears in the form of a bull when Parikshit Maharaj approaches him. So Sri Radha says, you have killed the personification of dharma. You are totally impure. You don't have the adhikar to join us, basically. Part of their loving interaction. So Krishna says, no, but it was not a bull. It was an asura. It was a demon disguised as a bull. Yeah, but it was a bull nonetheless on some level. So now you have to atone. Atone, you say in English? Atone for to purify yourself for such very dreadful sin. So Krishna say, what do I have to do? I mean, tell me what do I have to do to join you again? That's the only thing that Krishna has in mind. Tell me what to do, I do so I can have your association again. So Sri Radha is like joking, say, you have to bathe in every single sacred place of the three worlds. So you can imagine, generally that takes a little bit of time. No? At least for us it may take some time. So she says that, and Krishna says, okay, that's the rule, okay. So Krishna, with his heel, he presses it on the ground, and immediately all the different sacred rivers and places come personified to that particular spot, especially sacred rivers. Sri Radha told him, you have to bathe in the sacred rivers in the three worlds. So all the sacred rivers appear in that spot. With Krishna, no? Like implying all those places are residing at the feet of Krishna. You serve Krishna's feet, that's the sacred, most sacred place, all converge. So all of them appear there. No? And Krishna like kind of starts to become proud. Like, you see? No? So he bathes in those waters. So he approaches Sri Radha and says, okay, yeah, I'm ready. No, she said, no. Still you are contaminated. You have killed the bull yet. No? So, and Krishna said, you want to bathe in my kunda? That's a Shyamakunda that Krishna manifests, basically. And Sri Radha says, she enters into competitive mode at that moment, transcendentally speaking. I said, no, this must be some trick you have done. All these people, personalities appearing and saying that they are the personified rivers. This is one of your tricks, Krishna. We know you. You are a tricky guy. So I'm not sure this is real. So Radha says to the gopis, let's ask ourselves, make a lake ourselves, which will be even more nice than Krishna's. So they go to one place where Aristasura had made some mark when he died with his feet, and they, with their own hands, they start like to take earth and make the hole for the lake. So in 1 hour they create Radhakund. Krishna, rather with the gopis. And Krishna was looking and said, well, but still the hole was there. Water was not there. So Krishna said, do you want that I fill your leg with the water of my leg? Sri Radha said, no. You have bathed there. So all those waters are contaminated. But at that moment also, it is said that all those waters of the sacred rivers around the earth and all planetary system wanted to render some service to Sri Radha. So it is said that one representative of all those sacred rivers personified appears and approaches Sri Radhana and begs her, please, we are actually the personification of these sacred rivers. It's not Krishna's trick. And we implore you to allow us to render some service to you. So in this case, let us fill your lake with our waters. So at that moment, Sri Radha agrees, no? And says, okay. And so in this moment, the water of Shyamakunda overflows and fills also Sri Radha Kunda. No? So we have nowadays these two lakes. And of course, after that, Sri Krishna starts to glorify Radha Kunda and saying, this Kunda is so beautiful, represents you, Sri Radha, my beloved, and it will be even more famous than my Kunda. And generally, that's a fact. You go there and everyone is around Radha Kunda. No, not that many people is around Shyamakunda, which is not speaking that that's low, but that was Krishna's desire. So in that way, Radha Kunda gets manifested. So it is said that, going back, remember, Radha Kunda is manifest on earth, so now those gopis who wanted to meet Krishna during the day have the perfect meeting place for those midday meetings. So after the manifestation of Radha Kunda, starts the meeting of the gopis with Krishna, not only at midnight, but at midday now. And it is said that at this point of the Leela on earth, the unfolding of the Leela reaches the point that mostly resembles how the Leela is in Golok Vrindavan. No? Radha Kunda is there, meetings during the night and day are there. So my Guru Maharaj will say, you have to freeze, put pause there, and that's the perfect unfolding of that, because after that Krishna will go to Mathura, to Dwarka, other pastimes that do not have too much to do, if you will, with what's going on in Golok eternally. But after Radha Kunda manifests, this Prakat Leela on earthly Leela attains what's called Nitya Stiti, or like permanent situation, fixed situation that resembles what's going on in eternity. And interestingly, our Gaudiya Sampradaya very much specializes in the Radha Kunda Leelas. You won't find in other Gaudiya, other Vaishnava Sampradayas, that much detail about Radha Kunda and what's going in Radha Kunda. So according to the 8 periods of the day, Krishna has an eternal day of 8 periods. The midday period, Madhyan Leelas, well, and Nisha Leela in the night, are the longest one in comparison to the other ones. And there are many pastimes that take place there. So we can conclude today sharing one of those pastimes that generally happen in Radha Kunda at midday, which is one of the main ones, is the Surya Pooja, the worship of the sun, the sun god, which Sri Radha performs, especially on Sundays. Today is Saturday, but well, imagine that we are on a Sunday. So Surya is the family deity in Vrishabhanupur, in the area where Sri Radha was born. So Sri Radha is worshipping the sun, and also Jatila, Sri Radha's mother-in-law, is insisting that she worships the sun, because with the hope that by her worship of the sun, Radha's husband, Abhimanyu, will become blessed with wealth and cows and health. And actually we will see, Sri Radha is doing that very religiously, but only as a perfect excuse to meet with Krishna, basically. So that's share a brief summary of this Leela, because there are many details that we could share. So one of these typical situations is Krishna is dying in separation of Sri Radha, and Krishna is in Radha Kunda, and he's waiting for her, but she's not coming. Sometimes Sri Radha is waiting for Krishna, he's not coming, and in this case Krishna is waiting for her, she's not coming, for particular reasons and family duties in which she was entangled at home, she was not able to free herself from those obstacles. So Krishna is in Radha Kunda, accompanied by his Priyanarma Sakhas, his intimate friends who know about Krishna's romantic life. Krishna has 4 types of friends, and only one of them are the ones who know about Krishna's romantic feelings with the gopis and Sri Radha. So Sri Radha is informed about that, and she's going on her way to Radha Kunda with the excuse of Surya Pooja. So when she arrives, Krishna is there, Krishna is looking at her, and they look at each other, but this is the way, as we say yesterday, love moves in a crooked way. So Sri Radha arrives there, Krishna obtains new life, and he wakes up about to join her, And when she sees him approaching, she pretends that she came to pick flowers. So she starts to pick flowers. And now Krishna has the perfect excuse to start a conversation with Sri Radha. Because overtly he shouldn't be speaking to her. But now he has a good reason for that, because he will say, "What are you doing here? No, you are stealing the flowers of this garden which is under my care. No, no. The emperor Kamadev has assigned me this duty." Of course, Kamadev is Cupid, the god of romantic love. Krishna starts to pick in with double meaning here, with lots of poetic implications. "So the emperor Cupid has put me in charge of this garden. So I'm in charge, and whoever is stealing, basically, flowers, I have to chastise them. No, and that person will have to end in my arms and be very strongly chastised." And things like this. No. So, and Sri Radha says, and of course Sri Radha is with Lalita, Vishakha, and her gopis, and someone like Lalita, who is pretty much outspoken, say, "What are you speaking, rascal? I mean, this is not your forest. This is the forest of my Swamini, my mistress. This forest called Vrindavan, and it was given by Vrinda Devi to Sri Radha, and that's why she's called Vrindavaneshwari. She's the owner of this forest, not you." No? And Krishna says, no, that's not true. "You are every single day coming and destroying all this forest by taking your flower for your Sura Pooja. I'm trying to take care of you, you are ruining my whole forest." And the gopis say, no. "You are ruining this forest. You are coming daily with your cows, and they are walking over everything and destroying everything. So you have to pay for some type of tax or whatever." So in this way, they are exchanging this loving interaction. And eventually other lilas take place in the context of midday meeting, like flute stealing. The gopis steal the flute of Krishna. We won't enter into the details of that. They have lunch there. They start to appreciate the beauty of the forest and visit different forests, seasonal forests. They are in Radhakunda with the 6 different seasons present there. And after a while, Vrinda Devi comes, who, as we know, she's a dutika or a messenger, and Vrinda Devi will tell Radha and Krishna, "Jatila is approaching. He's going to Surya Kund because it's the time for Surya Puja, and Jatila is concerned that Sri Radha is not doing her Surya Puja. So she will go there, she will find that Sri Radha is not there doing what she's supposed to be doing, the Surya Puja. So we have to do something about it." So at that moment, of course, Sri Radha goes with Kundalata to Surya Puja, and Kundalata says to Jatila, "Jatila, say why you are not here? Why the Surya Puja has not started? Where are you? What's going on?" Jatila is always suspicious, as we know. That's the very name, Jatila. Jatila comes from Jata, and Jata is like how to say, like when you don't comb your hair and that becomes like a dreadlock. That's a Jata in Sanskrit. So it's like. So that's Jatila. That speaks about Jatila's mind, no? Crooked and all that.
Tangled?
Yeah, dreadlock mind or something. So she's always suspicious. Of course, Kutila also, Jatila and Kutila. So, but they have a very pretty good reason how to explain all this, of course. So Kundalata will say to Jatila, no, we were delayed because we were not able to find a proper Brahmin to make the ceremony, because Surya Puja has to be, Sri Radha will be there, but the Brahmin has to conduct the whole thing. So there's no Brahmin available in the area. And we only found one Brahmin, who is a very renowned Brahmin. He's a disciple of Gargacharya. His name is Vishwa Sarma. He resides in Mathura. But today happens to be here in the area, nearby. Of course, you can imagine who is that Brahmin. No? So, and now that Brahmin is bathing in Aristakun. Aristakun is another name for Shyamakun. And he's with Madhu Mangal. So if you want, Jatila, we can go to that Brahmin and start there. So Jatila goes there with Sri Radha and Kundalata. And there is Krishna as Vishwa Sarma, this Brahmin, dressed, disguised with Madhu Mangal. So Krishna starts like to give blessings like a Brahmin and pronounce made-up mantras to all of them. No? So Jatila is, okay, let's do the ceremony with him. No? So there are many details in between. I'm just giving a brief summary of that. But basically, so Vishwa Sarma asks Jatila, "So what's the name of your son's wife?" I mean, Jatila is the mother of Abhimanyu, and Sri Radha is the wife of Abhimanyu. So Krishna is asking Indira, what's Jatila, the name of your son's wife? And Jatila says, Radha. Oh, Vishwasarama says, Radha. She's famous even in the city of Mathura where I live for her chastity and her virtues. And of course, Jatila is always suspecting Radha's chastity. No? So in this way, Krishna is actually confirming, giving support to Sri Radha in the eyes of Jatila. No, she's so chaste in the whole city of Mathura. Everyone's speaking about her virtues. She's like a parallel of Lakshmi Devi. You are so fortunate to having her in your house. So Jatila was like, oh, no, she's like, I was suspecting so much and now I'm receiving all this amount of praise for Sri Radha. So let's begin the ceremony. Say, okay. So Krishna says to Sri Radha, you have to repeat with me. No? And Krishna will, like, this is typical in this ceremony. No? You repeat this mantra that I will pronounce. So Krishna starts to make up a lot of mantras on the spot. And they are all mantras, again, in Paroksha Bhat, in direct speech, with double meanings. No? You have to know Sanskrit to appreciate, because with Sanskrit you have the thing. One word can mean not only two things, but so many more. So Krishna says many things that to the ears of Jatila are speaking those words about Sri Radha's increasing her commitment with Abhimanyu, her husband. But to the eyes, to the ears of everyone else, except for Jatila, Sri Radha's increasing her commitment to Krishna, basically. No? So that's the whole situation. And there are lots of coming and goings in that connection. Sri Radha is pronouncing one thing, and she's so happy in pronouncing those mantras because that means I'm committing myself more and more in love with Krishna. And Jatila is, oh, how nice, she's committing to Babi Manju more and more, and so on. So at the end of that part of the ceremony, Jatila gives a ring, no, from Sri Radha to Krishna as a dakshina, no, as a donation to the Brahmin for his service. But Krishna, Vishwasarma, says, I do not accept anything in exchange for my service. It's my service. Actually, And I do different services. I also do astrological reading, palm reading, and so on. But I do not... He mentions that like just in case, and we all know that that's connected. But I don't accept anything in exchange because my wealth is to please the Vrajavasis, Vishwasarma say. And that's true. No? The Krishna's wealth is to please the Vrajavasis. Specifically in this case, of course, Vrajavasis meant to please Sri Radha. But Jatila became stuck with astrological services, palm reading. So Jatila becomes like, So she says to Kundalata, Kundalata, can you ask Vishwasarma if he can read Radha's palm? No? To see what the future is, no? What's fate for us. No? So Kundalata says, Jatila is asking if you can read Sri Radha's palm. And Krishna says, well, I'm a brahmachari. So I cannot touch any lady's hands. But, he says, she's such a special person that I can read her hand from a distance. She can put her hand like this and I can read from a distance without breaking my brahmacharya vows. But you can imagine all the associates of Krishna there are about to explode in laughter, but they cannot because Jatila is there like fully believing all that is happening. So Krishna starts, Vishwasarma starts to read Radha's palm and says, oh, this lady is like Lakshmi Devi personified. So much good fortune will come to your house. And Jatila is like swelling in ecstasy because that's her concern. Good fortune, money, wealth, cows, and so on. And then Krishna says, but something else I'm seeing there. What's the name of your son? Vishwasarma is asking, to Jatila. And Jatila says, Abhimanyu. Oh, Abhimanyu. I can see that the life of Abhimanyu will be full with obstacles. So Jatila is like, oh my God. But I can see also that by the grace of Sri Radha, he doesn't say Sri Radha, by the grace of the wife of your son, he will overcome all those obstacles. So Jatila is like, oh, great. And at the end of the ceremony, Jatila is with increased faith in Sri Radha's, if you will, chastity and efficacy and position. But all that was done on another level as a way of increasing the commitment between Sri Radha and Krishna. So at this point, Sri Radha and Krishna are about to not being able to contain their emotions for each other. Because remember, and all this exchange, something on a clandestine level was happening between Radha and Krishna. The two of them were expressing how much they love each other in a hidden way. So the love for each other is overwhelming, overflowing, and it's about to come to the surface, and that's not supposed to happen in front of Jatila. So that's when Subal appears on the scene, which is Krishna's closest Priyanarma Saka, who knows what's actually taking place, who tells, to prevent that overflowing to happen, he tells to Krishna, Bhishma Sarma, I have some fruits for you, please come to honor them. So that's when Bhishma Sarma, the astrologer, goes with Subal, and the Leela continues. And also, try to remember, in this moment of the midday pastimes, Krishna was with his friends in the forest. So at one point, he always finds some reason to meet with the gopis in Radhakunda. So he leaves his friends that become under the taking by Balaram. He's taking care of them. And Krishna goes with a few Priyanarma Sakas to meet with the gopis. But there's a point where with his friends in the forest are longing for Krishna to return. So this was the moment. So Subal, knowing that, he creates all this situation, and he's taking Krishna also back to his friends. So this is one of many pastimes that happen in Radhakunda. And again, as we mentioned today, all these are not only nice stories, but portals in which eventually we will project to serve in eternity. Whether one may have affinity for Gopi Bhav, Gopa Bhav, Priyanarma Sakya, Manjari Bhav, those groups which are the main currents in our Sampradaya, will render some valuable service in this unique place, this unique section. So anyhow, some words and thoughts I want to share today with you about Sri Sri Radhakund. Many other things we could say from different approaches, but that was which came today in mind. So I hope that was inspiring. And of course, if there is any questions or something you may like to ask, ideally in connection to the topic, or not questions, or commentaries or something. We have a few minutes. I don't know. Have a few minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I should have asked before.
Okay, as long as you like. Could you just 30% of nature of instruction is about Radhakund, and I remember that. But why is that? You touched on that, but you didn't actually say why.
Okay, good point. Thank you. Well, before these three verses, verse 9, 10, and 11, Sri Rupa Goswami is speaking about famous verse, which sometimes is called the essence of all advice, which actually is another way of saying Upadeshamrita. Amrita can be translated as essence also, nectar, but essence, and Upadesh means instruction or advice. So the whole 11 verses are called Upadeshamrita, but somehow this particular verse can be called Upadeshamrita in the sense of the essence of all advice. And that's where Rupa Goswami mentions one should 24 hours a day try to spend his time but absorb one's mind into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and one should try to engage all its functions. So he the whole narrative goes in that direction. No? The essence of all advice is to absorb yourself in the service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So he leaves us at that situation. And then the next verse starts to speak, to explain a little bit more the position of Vrindavan, but saying, Vaikuntha, Mathura, Vrindavan. And then on that basis, Govardhan Radhakunda. And when it says Radhakunda, then starts to speak about the position of Sri Radha among all types of devotees. He starts to speak about Karmis, Jnanis, Bhaktas, different types of Bhaktas, all that, finishing in Sri Radha, and then dedicating the final part to, again, Radhakunda's the topmost place. And I mean, it's pretty emphatic if you really read how he expressed in those verses. Of course, I'm not saying that like let's rush into that direction, but he's making it clear this is the converging point of our Sampradaya. You know, it's a very unique, deep place. No? So before, glorifying Radhakunda, he glorifies the goal of Vrindavan, the goal of service in Vrindavan, which is what Raga Nuga Bhakti is pointing to. You know, in order to reach Vrindavan, Raga Marga is the path to adopt, basically. You know? Which he describes, of course, in further detail in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thank you. Any other question, commentary?
Kind of a question. What's I once heard a distinction between the gopis and the other Vrajvasis were that the gopis didn't have any sense of self-value, as opposed to like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj thought they were Krishna's protectors, and his friends thought they were like equal to him and stuff. But the gopis were, they didn't have a kind of like sense of self-value like the other Vrajvasis have. Can you kind of explain about that? Or
I'm not so sure if I understood what you mean by self-value. If you could elaborate on that a little bit.
I don't remember exactly what I read.
Mm-hmm.
When Krishna left for Mathura,
yeah,
they didn't have confidence that he would remember them back.
Because
he would go to Mathura and then he would dance, play with the city aristocratic women.
Mm.
So they felt like, it's the impression I got when I read this, that they didn't have that kind of, the way I interpreted that was like, they didn't have like self-value, but
self-worth?
Yeah,
I get the point. Well, actually, that's one of the, we could say one of the ecstatic symptoms that the gopis will exhibit in separation from Krishna, and kind of the nature of romantic love, you know, like, as my Guru Maharaj will say, that he loves me not, how they say, like, they're picking, like, the petals in the flower, he loves me not. But, actually, at the end of the day, in the deepest sense of the term, let's say, for example, in the case of Sri Radha, she knows that she knows how Krishna loves her, basically. She has deep realization of that, and she knows, as we know, that even at some moments nobody can please Krishna as she can. No. So she has that type, and that's in a humble way, not like in a proud way, just totally absorbing pleasing Krishna. Whatever will please Krishna, I'm for that. That's a very interesting section at the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the last verse of Sikshastakam, and he mentions a long series of Bengali verses, and one of them, Sri Radha, is saying, even if Krishna, if I would know that Krishna would be happy by being with some particular lady, and he's embracing me at that moment, I will free myself from that embrace and make all the arrangements for him to obtain that lady. I will become a maidservant in the house of that person as to facilitate Krishna's pleasure. No? So if you want to connect that with lack of self-worth, in the sense of she's not concerned about herself, it's self-forgetfulness in divine love. She's totally absorbed in giving Krishna's total pleasure. But again, in certain moments, she knows, I can only give Krishna here the pleasure he needs. So she will put all of them on both sides and take the precedence on that. Although externally it may seem, wow, you're proud. No, she's doing that because I know he needs that service now and nobody else can provide that. And I will not be able to survive by thinking he needs some type of service and nobody's providing that. For Sri Radha, it's like impossible to conceive that. Someone has to provide that. And if she knows I am the one to provide that, she will do that. So again, in the dynamic of separation, sometimes the gopis express this kind of doubts, which again only shed light about the love for Krishna. Because I mean, although they may express that, it's not that they stop loving Krishna at any moment. No? Even when they, if you want to put it, if Krishna loves him or loves them or not, their love for Krishna is only increasing. So that also sheds light on the nature of their love, because generally, at least in this world, if you have doubts if someone loves you or not, and you may have that doubt for a long time, at one point, you have found someone else, basically. Generally, you are not increasing your love for that person. At the same time, you are doubting if that person is loving you. Because in many cases, it's one's love is dependent on what's going on from the other side. It's not totally selfless. No, but the gopis are the zenith of selflessness. So even if they may doubt, again, on some level, Krishna may love us or not, nonetheless, their love for Krishna escalates without limit. And as we know, when Krishna goes to Kurukshetra, after almost 100 years of separation, try to imagine that, and the gopis meet Krishna for the solar eclipse in Kurukshetra, and the Brajavas in general, and we know the whole situation. And at one point, Krishna expresses to the gopis, I'm totally... What's this verse? Sorry, 1 minute. No, this is not here. Only need the first line. But it's not here. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate. Distyadya dasim matsniho bhavatinam madapana. Sometimes you need the first word just to... So Krishna is saying there to the gopis, Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritatvaya kalpate. Many people are worshipping me, trying to obtain eternity through my worship and so on. But actually the worship that you are directing to me is such that I feel fortunate by having a connection with you. Most people, Krishna says, if they can have a connection with me, they feel fortunate. But Krishna in this verse saying, if by me having a connection with you, I consider myself fortunate. So it is said that the commentator said, at this moment the gopis confirm, he's totally ours. Although it seems, sorry?
I was thinking about the word waitress or waiter.
Yeah. Like the ones on the restaurant?
Yes, someone who is, they're simply waiting, they're just anticipating what is their next need. And waiting on them until they need that.
Interesting. Thanks for the connection. So basically that's the situation. No? They are just living for that. No? And in this moment Krishna acknowledges, although I'm here in Dwarka and I'm surrounded by all this royalty and elephants and crowns and how many queens, I'm totally yours. No? The gopis understood that. No? He's totally ours. Although externally he's here and there. And that's the purpose, as my Guru Maharaj said, of the Mathura Lila and the Dwarka Lila, to shed light back on the Braja Lila, indirectly. No? The chapters on the Braja Lila are speaking about the glories of the love of Vrindavan. The chapters of Mathura and Dwarka Lila indirectly speak about Vrindavan by way of comparison and contrasting. No? What's the love with that? And indirectly we will appreciate, oh no, Braja Lila is the all and all. And Krishna, while being outside of Vrindavan, internally, he's absorbed in Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami shows that in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna at night sleeping with his queens, but shouting, Lada, Lalita, Vishaka. And then the next morning, of course, the queen say, who is Lalita? Who is Vishaka? I'm your wife. No, things like this, no? So externally, he's there, but his heart is somewhere else. No? So,
and eventually, he goes back, right?
Yeah, there. That's also what Jiva Goswami mentions as well. Anyhow, thank you so much for your time, for your attention, for your being waiters and waitress, waiting and hearing, and hopefully we do something with all of this in the form of rendering some pleasing service to Sri Guru and the Vaishnav. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Sri Sri Gonityanand ki jai, Sri Brajan Haladar ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Kund ki jai, Shama Kund ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Primanand.